We are beginning Shlishi. Shlishi, we're going to discuss a very interesting angle on what happens in Shlishi. You guys ready? Let's first go through the parsha, the very basics, and then we're going to dig in and go deeper. Yeah, but we have to know ABCs before you know the other, whatever the other letters are, or other languages. So, the very end of Perek Tes, which is where Shlishi begins, it says, everybody saw this fire that went out from before Hashem. So it sounds like there was a very non-natural fire thing happening over here. That's the introduction. That's how it all begins. In today's... No. But then it says that Vayikachu b'nei Aharon nada ve'aviu ish machtaso, that the b'nei... So how are they referred to here? They're given like an introduction, right? Vayikachu b'nei Aharon nada ve'aviu. So in case you didn't know who they were, they are B'nai Aaron. But you need to know apparently that it was them two specifically, not all of B'nai Aaron. So first, in other words, we need to know it's Nadav Aviu. We didn't need to spell out that it was B'nai Aaron. Either way, Ish Machta, so each one of them took his own fire pan. We know, and they put fire in it, and they put Ketores, and then they brought it as a sacrifice in front of Hashem. And then it adds that that apparently was an Eish Zara. It was a strange fire, and then it adds Asher lo tziva osam, that he didn't command them. So we're left wondering, is it strange because it wasn't commanded, or it was strange in addition to the fact that it wasn't commanded? That depends how you read it, right?
I feel like I've understood it as strange and it wasn't commanded.
Maybe. I don't know. Can you prove it? Can you prove either way? I don't know that there's any proof either way.
I'm not saying how,
like,
which one it is. I'm just saying how I understood it growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like
the story. Okay. Now the very next pasuk gets a little freaky. Which, by the way, had just happened a minute ago. Right? That is how the pasuk Chav Dalet begins. That's how Shlishi began. Vatochal. But instead of Al HaMizbeach, it says Osam. And so they died Lifnei Hashem. Now Lifnei Hashem is also strange, because what's Lifnei Hashem?
It kind of sounds like they sacrificed themselves.
Does sound like they sacrificed, or they became a sacrifice. But what is it? Is there a location that's called Lifnei Hashem? Yeah, is that what we're talking about? Were they actually in the Kodesh Kodesh? Because on the one hand, we know that the Kohen Gadol did something very much like this on Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh Kodesh. Is that what they were doing? Because that's certainly Asher lo tziva osam. Right, that's right. Asher lo tziva osam. In any case, it's very mysterious what's happening here. V'yomer Moshe al Aharon, oh, who Asher diber Hashem lemor b'krovai HaKadosh. This is what God said. I'm going to be, hold on a second. There, it doesn't say anything about that yet, right? Not a word.
That's Josh.
We'll get to it in a second. That's what Hashem said, with those who are close to me, I will become sanctified. V'alpnei cholam akaved, and on the entire nation, I will become heavy, I'll become honored. Vayidom Aharon, and Aaron was silent. So then comes a practicality. So that's the story, right? The story goes that even though there was a fire that came out from before Hashem, nonetheless they decided they were going to bring their own fire pans. We don't know if it was in the Kodesh Kodashim. It sounds like maybe it was, or if you're a betting man, it was. And there was an Eish Zara that they brought, and it was not commanded, and they were burnt up by Hashem in a language that parallels the way that the Karbanos were burnt up, but they died. And then Moshe has this line to Aaron where he says, wow, I knew that was going to happen. I guess that's what God meant when he said that he's going to be sanctified or somehow honored with those who are close to him, which is a really strange thing, right? And then Aaron is silent, which is also strange. Like, what's that all about? I mean, he was supposed to cry and be upset, but now he wasn't. Like, what? Moshe Rabbeinu made him feel better. Then comes the practicalities. We got dead bodies in the Mishkan. We got to deal with that. So Moshe calls to Mishal and Al-Tzafan, who are related but not Kohanim, and he says to them, you know, go get them out of there. So they did, and apparently their clothing, the reason why the Torah says it this way is to teach us that their clothing wasn't burnt up. They removed them by their coats. But they got burnt up by fire. Usually when people get burnt up by fire, their clothing kind of, you know, don't do so well. No, so apparently this fire was rather unique in that it burnt them up from the insides. It killed them, but it didn't actually make a conflagration. It didn't really ignite everything. It's very spiritually directed. It's not, Okay. Don't observe what would typically be considered avelus. Don't observe what would typically become avelus. It's a celebratory day, and it's not a day of mourning, and therefore you're not allowed to have those expressions of mourning.
What day was
today? The eighth day of the Miluim. It's the days that they inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. This is based on the Mishkan. This is really officially the first day of real activity in the... And what's that? Yeah, certain things are learned from here. Don't do it. It implies that they were supposed to be done in general.
My grandma, she passed away the day before Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have time to hear it beforehand, so they just waited. Oh.
Right. No, there are all kinds of rules about it. That when there's a death that happens right before one of the chagim, and there's a halach of simcha, so that as long as there was some mourning that was observed, it cancels the rest of it. There are a lot of rules like that. No. But it was the idea that there's certain things apparently normally would be done, and you're not going to do those things. So we do learn certain things from here that we would normally do because they were told not to. Okay, but in any case, and then there is a psucha. And then after the psucha is something that's really, really, really unusual. Tell me if this pasuk sounds a little bit unusual to you. You ready? Vaydaber Hashem, so far so good? El Aharon Leimor. Yeah, crazy, right? Like when you listen to this pasuk, you're like, whoa, no, that's wrong. Moshe, right? Hashem doesn't... Vaydaber Hashem El Aharon? That's not the way it's supposed to go. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this. I don't want to. But this is very, very, very noteworthy. Because the whole Torah comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. It has to come through Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not Torah if it doesn't come through Moshe Rabbeinu. There were lots of prophets that heard lots of things from Hashem. Not one of them is Torah. Except for Moshe Rabbeinu. So the fact that it's coming from Aaron was a Navi. So, but what does this mean in terms of mitzvos? So, okay. It's a very noteworthy pasuk. Hashem says to Aaron, Yayin v'sheichar al teisht, wine and sheichar. How do you want to don't translate it as beer.
Drink strong.
Perhaps alcoholic beverages, okay, whatever it means, we'll have to see. Don't drink, you and your children, when you are doing avoda. And that way you won't die. And that's a law forever. And also, lahavdil b'na kodesh v'na chol, v'na tamei v'na tahor. Now, how do you read this? It for sure is Havdalah, but meaning, is this part of the previous pasuk? It's that don't drink when you're doing the avoda, because you have to make a distinction between Kodesh and Chol and Tamei and Tahor. Is that the idea? I'm telling you, don't drink because you have to make these distinctions. You would normally drink, let's say, when you want to, make a wedding. I don't know. At certain times, I guess, maybe you would drink. But Beis HaMikdash, that you can't do that. Is that what the idea is? Or is this a separate idea? And then finally, there's one more part of this. Little horosis b'nei Yisrael. So that may connect even better to the previous pasuk. Hora'ah, like the word Torah, comes from the word hora'ah in its most basic understanding. To show, to direct. So little horosis b'nei Yisrael, to show the way to b'nei Yisrael. Also, you're not allowed to drink before you do that. That sounds like you're not allowed to drink before you teach Torah, perhaps specifically when you paskin Torah. When you're doing lahorosis b'nei Yisrael, it sounds like you're also not allowed to drink. That's the end of this section. Okay, so there's a lot of very cloudy things happening here. What we know for sure is that none of the Navi were killed by Hashem. And apparently they did something wrong. It involves an Eish Zara. It involves a Shalot Siva Osam. But it doesn't seem... there seems to be almost a positive element to this. That Moshe is saying, Bikrovaya Kadesh, that God was somehow sanctified with this, and not with people that were like Rishayim. It sounds like God was sanctified with like holy people. So did they do something bad? Did they do something right? Like what is... what is going on over here? Is it that it was a nice try? You hear what I'm saying, right? It's like a very cryptic parsha. And why is it that right afterwards Hashem says to Aaron, don't drink wine when you're doing avoda. So that's where Chazal get this from, is that, well, maybe the reason why it was said to Aaron was because this is exactly what they did wrong. Now you'll notice it doesn't say that they drank wine. It said they brought an Eish Zara that was not commanded. Not one word about wine. But right afterwards, the very next parasha is, don't drink wine when you do avoda. And it's said to Aaron. So Chazal have this idea that, Rashi goes in, that if this would have been said to the Kohanim or to Aaron from someone else, it would have been like insulting. Like, you know what your kids just did, you know. So instead of the embarrassment, so Hashem says it directly to Aaron. That would explain why it's coming through Aaron. That would answer that question. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. There's a number of explanations about what exactly was the problem here, because it's really not clear. There's something not commanded, and there's something called an Eish Zara. That is clear. What that means is not clear at all. There are a number of explanations in Chazal and later. We're going to take a very specific angle on it and try to learn a very specific lesson. Yeah? So this is the direction we're going to head in. Chazal say, like I said, like we'll use Rashi, right? We'll just use Rashi. So, let's take a look at the beginning and see what Rashi says. Pasuk Beis. Vatetzei Eish. Yeah, Pasuk Beis. Vatetzei Eish. The fire went out. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Shalom Mesu b'nei Aaron, Ela al yedei shahoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. That they died because they said, they paskined a shayla in front of their Rebbe. That's one angle. Now, where do you see that, right? Okay, but that's one angle. She quotes. Then Rashi quotes, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, Shesu yeyayin nichnesu lamikdash. So that's the pathway we'll work with to understand the parasha. That they had drunk wine. It doesn't mean necessarily they were drunk, because the prohibition in halacha is a revius. How much is a revius? Anywhere between like 3.3 and like 5 ounces, you know? Not so easy to get drunk on that. But they were shesuya yayin. They had drunk wine, and they went into the mikdash like that. And then Rashi writes, Teda, you should know where the proof is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Sha'achar Misasan, that after they died, Hizira no Sarim, the remaining Kohanim were warned, Shalo Yikanesi Shesuya in the Mikdash, to not go into the Beis HaMikdash after you drink wine. So, like, what's the tzu shtel? What's the connection here? Awesome, that's what they did wrong. So they've been warned here not to do it, which means they hadn't been warned before. Ooh. If they weren't warned before, why were they punished? Right? So, okay, but that's the angle we'll work with. So what's going on over here? Okay, so question number one is, if Rabbi Shmuel is correct, as it sounds, and that explains why it was said to Aaron, if that's, so then one of the biggest questions is, then why doesn't the pasuk say it? Why does the pasuk make it sound like the problem here was the fire and not that they had drunk wine? So that's the first question we're going to address. So there's a peirush called the Todas Yitzchak, and he answers like this: Shemasha ta'u be'esh zara. The reason they made a mistake and they brought a strange fire. Now, what's a strange fire? So pashut pshat, it wasn't the fire that Hashem made. Hashem sent the fire a minute ago. That's how the parsha began today. That's how the Aliyah begins. But Hashem sent the fire from Shemayim, from Lifnei Hashem, and it burnt up the mizbeah. They decided they're going to bring their own fire. So why did they make such a mistake? Lefisha sichlam hayam urbav. Their seicha, their minds, were messed up, were mixed up, because they had drunk wine. They weren't thinking straight. Okay, one thing I think also you can say with clarity is that something going on here in this parasha is that they're not just following rules. Yeah? They're doing something on their own. Even if you'll say some of the other pshatim, they paskina hashayla in front of the Rebbe. Also, it speaks to that. That they're trying to do something that they're doing. They're not just following the rules. They're not referred to as nadavena, as kohanim, or as b'nei Aaron. They're b'nei Aaron nadav aviu. Like they're being spelled out, like they're doing something specific. It sounds, you remember like in the Mishkan, it says it so many times. Kasher tziva Moshe, kasher tziva. Like everything that revolves around Mishkan, Mikdash is always, you know what I'm saying? Like Moshe said. Like Hashem said. You know what I'm talking about? Milame shalosh shinu. Like it says by Aaron last week, wherever, that the Torah teaches that Aaron didn't change an iota. Nothing. So it seems like when it comes to the Mikdash, even more than in other areas, it's very important to stick to exactly... So they weren't doing that. They wanted to add something from them. So they brought out a fire, but that apparently was involved... They weren't supposed to do that. They weren't supposed to do that. The Ramban says the same thing in a slightly different way, where he says like this, the reason that they were commanded not to drink wine, and when you go into the Mikdash right afterwards, is because that's what they did wrong. Kasher asu banav v'tachin ki mashe darshu shai nadav avir shusui yayin. So when Chazal say that's what they did wrong. Lomar ki mipnei yeinam tau be'esh sara. I mean, because that's really the cause of the esh sara, right? Just like the Tos Yitzchak said, lo shehaya ha'onesh mipnei hayayin. They weren't punished because they drank. Because after all, that hadn't been commanded yet. Right? So you have to say, says Rabban, they weren't punished for the drinking. What was the problem? The drinking led to something else. And when they brought their own fire and they decided to do their own thing, and they had their own ideas, that's what they were punished for. But at the end of the day, the cause of it all was because that they had drank the wine.
Can you just say that the living Hashem was the issue?
So he writes... In other words, it sounds like it's the Eish Zara. It's not that they went somewhere they shouldn't have been. Yeah? Now, you could have said, oh, what are they doing? Maybe if they're in the Kodesh Kodashim, what business do they have there? Maybe they died because they went into the Kodesh Kodashim. I mean, maybe that's all it. Yeah, it was the Eish Zara.
Well, it could still be the fact that they were drunk.
And that's the meaning.
Like, they went in there. That's why I said I understood it the first way.
Mm-hmm.
That it was, how did you say it again?
It was Asher Lotziva Osam. That it was an Eish Zara because.
And if that's the case, then they go into the Bnei Hashem, and then they get the Korban there, something like that. That causes.
So what's the problem in its essence?
The din was going into the Bnei Hashem, in the Kodesh
Kodesh. So I think that the angle, when you add in Mida Keneged Mida, often you can tell what the. Okay, let me spell this out. Yesod. Everybody, important Yesod. You're going to hear, and you've heard many times, and you will continue to hear in your lives, this concept of Mida Keneged Mida. Yeah? Now, Mida Keneged Mida, what do you think it means?
Measure for measure.
Good. What's the point of that?
What you put out, you get a return.
Why?
God.
Why does the Kaddish Baruch Hu always react Mida Keneged Mida? What's the idea behind that? What are we supposed to learn from that? What, you know what I'm asking? What's the point? Like, why does he do that? It's like it's so everybody knows it. But what's the meaning? Like why is it? Why does Hashem always work Mida Keneged Mida? What's the point? Why would Hashem do that?
Like appropriate response. It wouldn't be right, like, it works in the opposite direction as well. Like, not just for reward, but for punishment.
Okay, so appropriate response, I would disagree with, and I want to explain why. Because let's say that a person is a mass murderer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you'll say, oh, measure for measure, we could kill him, he killed other people. Yeah. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe you could fix him, maybe you could put him in jail, maybe, like, you know. And if a person stole, you know, in Sheva Yitzchak Menach, you kill him. Is that not deserving? What? You're right. I mean, like, in other words, just because a person did something wrong, it's hard to know what the appropriate punishment is. It's not necessarily exactly what that guy did.
No, I never. It's not.
You know, we can talk about rape for a minute and all the suggestions which had happened to him. Not necessarily. Does it make sense that the same thing that that person did is what should happen to them? That's appropriate punishment. So the idea of mina keneged mina is not, oh, that must be appropriate because that's what he did. Good? So what's the point? So you ready for this? I think this is very important to realize. Because I don't think people understand this. The idea behind mina keneged mina is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a punisher. You ready? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an educator. You hear what I said? What did
what's
I say?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an educator.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a punisher. He's an educator. So when a person receives mida keneged mida, sometimes it may result in death, and then the message is going to have to be for other people. But if the mida keneged mida doesn't result in a death, then the message is to the person that received it. I want you to know what you did wrong. And I want you to change. You with me on that? I think I'm being heard. Mida keneged mida shows, I want you to understand the problem here. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? If Hashem says, I'm doing this because that's what you did, either you could say, well, Kaddish Baruch is mad and he wants to do back. Or you. No. It means that Kaddish Baruch is saying, I want you to understand what you did wrong. So I'm not going to tell you because I don't work that way. You're not a prophet and you don't deserve me to... This guy did something wrong. So you're not a Navi that deserves me to say, listen up, this is what I want you to understand. The way a Kaddish Baruch Hu communicates the problem is through the resolution is in the same way as the problem. Yeah? So Mida Keneged Mida, behind it means that Kaddish Baruch Hu is teaching a lesson. Maybe it's for the other people if the person's gone. But that's why it's that way. I think that is a very... I think it's true. So, that being the case, if you see that there's fire that kills them, fire that burns them up, you get the distinct impression that there's a mida keneged. There must be the fire was the problem. Yeah? So that's where Ramban is coming from. Okay. So, I have a question. We know what their problem is. We know the cause of it was that their seichel was messed up because they did apparently drink first. What were they thinking?
I think they were enlightened and they wanted to do more. It was all positive.
So what were they... I want to focus on the drinking part of it, right? But that's what led to their next, you know, mistake in the cheshbon. Why were they... You're going to like this, yeah? Let's close it up. Let's learn. My question is like this. We have a certain setup that we've made here. We know what they did wrong. We know they died. We spoke of Mida Keneged Mida. But we know that it was caused by drinking or following that Mahalakha Rashi quotes in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Good? So here's what we're going to do now. The reason I find this important, by the way, this is just to make my introduction, is because as you know, I've probably said this many times already, but as you know, I don't like so much listening to somebody say a vort. And then I say, oh, that's interesting. Lots of things are interesting. What I want to see in Torah is God talking to me. Yeah? I want to see God talking to me. Because when I hear a vort, someone says a cute vort at the Shabbos table, it's coming from you or whatever book you read it in. I want you to show me where the Ribbono Shel Olam said that. You know what I'm talking about? No? Because then I know it's MS. I want MS. So when you say something, it's cute. It's like, possibility. I don't like possibilities. So what does Hashem say? So I have Rashi. Is what you're showing. Wait, quoting.
You want a person to say what God said?
I want to know what Hashem said. But now without a doubt. No, here's what I want to do. Ready?
Yeah.
I have Rashi. Rashi's a Rishon. Okay. Rashi quotes from Rabbi Shmuel. Shmuel was a Tana. Now I have a Tana telling me that what happened in this parsha is that they drank wine, which led to a very bad decision. So the problem is that they decided to drink wine, and that led to a problem that got them killed. And that's why the Torah then says that you're not allowed to drink. So now I know, I have a Tana telling me Pshat and Chumash. That's my starting point here, and that's why I love it. Because I know that this is a Tana with Torah Shebaal Peh telling me Pshat and Chumash. There are other Pshatim, and there are other Tanoim that take differently. So you could take a different approach. We're not doing that. We're going to focus on Rabbi Shmuel because it's Amita Shel Torah. This is what Rabbi Shmuel says is Pshat and Chomesh. So that means that Kaddish Baruch Hu is teaching us a very important lesson about what it means drinking an avoda in the Mishkan. Yeah? Now I want to know, what were they thinking? They had a thought process, right? They weren't like a bunch of drunkards. They had a thought process, and they drank wine before they did avoda. They were apparently tzaddikim. They were burnt up the same way karbanos were. So the mita keneged mita here wasn't like a Kaddish Baruch Hu said, die, 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 evil people. It was like, okay, I'm taking your souls away. You were like a sacrifice. And Moshe Rabbeinu testifies to it and says, Bikrovai Ekadesh. They were holy Jews. So you have to say that these weren't a bunch of losers. These were people that are apparently on a very high level that weren't sticking to the rules, decided they wanted to do something that was their own idea. It was a big mistake and they got messed up. But there must have been a cheshbon here. What were they thinking? Why did they want to drink to do this avoda? I know there's a little bit of speculation here, but let's try to, what makes sense? What do you say? Why would they do that? Simcha. In Simcha al-Basavayayim. What?
Without meat.
Yeah, so there is... No, that's it. That's what we're going to work with. What?
Something about their not being the right mindset, maybe not their focus.
Apparently, wine, right? There's something to do, something with wine. Something with wine. So 70, so yeah.
70, which is the same as. Which is also
17.
Now, when you take the olive from
Adar.
So, can if we're going to work with that, if that's your only suggestion, then that's what we'll work with.
We can think about it more.
Why didn't they just like be happy? Why weren't they just like happy? Why don't they just like?
Why don't them want to break these corbanos?
No, they utilize the tool to get to happiness, right? What do we call that?
Drugs.
Okay, good. We call that drugs.
You're ready here first.
No, I think this is fascinating because if we're right, it means that this actually is the Torah talking about drugs as they relate to spirituality.
Yeah, but it's in the it's
no.
Negative.
We'll get to that.
Judaism has no place for drugs.
Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me that if all of our cheshbonos that we just made are correct, then what Rabbi Shmuel is teaching us is that this actually is the Torah addressing the relationship between drugs and spirituality.
No, we made like 30 assumptions to get.
That's not true.
What are our assumptions?
I don't remember, but we made a whole bunch.
Again, Rashi, there's a parsha called drinking right after this episode. Rashi says, why? So he says, well, I'm not going to make this up. I have a machlokas.
You have Rashi, that's an assumption. You can't say Rashi's sure back.
Okay, again. Rashi asks a question. Rashi quotes Tanoi.
No, you can't.
There's a Tana, his name is Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said.
We're two assumptions.
Not two assumptions. Forget Rashi. It's Rabbi Shmuel. Rashi just quotes it. I might see how I got there. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel says, the reason why this parasha comes after this one is to teach you that that's what they did wrong. They have a problem with that because the Torah doesn't say that. So Rabbi Ramban explains because it led to another decision that got them killed. Okay.
We have Rabbi Shmuel and Ramban.
No. I'm just getting around a problem. But Rabbi Shmuel is the one with a Tana, Torah Shmuel Pet, Tana, that said that that's what they did wrong.
Okay.
So you want to call that an assumption? That's a primary source.
Two things.
Right? That is Torah Shmuel Pet. Yeah.
So I don't think you could say this relating specifically drugs to Judaism. I think it could be saying you shouldn't be drunk while you're doing davening, stuff like that. That's really
we'll have to figure out where it's limited
you
to.
You could draw that out. I just don't think that you could relate this into talking about drugs. More talking about drugs is focused being law on drugs than something else. Like Torah and Buddha.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said it the way I did. I said, so here we would find the Torah addressing the relationship between drugs and spirituality. That's why I said it that way.
Spirituality, I don't think spirituality.
We'll talk it out. We'll talk it out.
We know from Amy that there's already an idea that we're supposed to be drunk and stuff.
Okay, good. He does criticize Chana for that. That's true. But this is earlier than that. This goes way back. This is before that.
Oh, Shakur is Kasher, and therefore they thought it was right.
Shikora, yeah. Kashera. Okay, so... All right, we'll push this farther a little bit. Okay, let's make it short and sweet. On Purim, there is a Gemara, as you know. Some of you may have achieved this on Purim. Ad delo yada. Yeah? Why do you think the word yada is used? Is there any significance to that particular term? Das. Is there anything to that? Right. So there is a inverse relationship between yayin and das. Are we okay with that? What does it mean inverse relationship? What do I mean by that?
It depends what you're trying to do.
What?
Depends what you
want to
know.
What I mean to say, yeah, it depends how much you drink. But the point is that what do we mean? You know, he knew her in the biblical sense.
He knew her.
That's a pasuk in Chumash, right?
That means they slept together, no?
Yeah, right? Now, why? It's a very strange word to use, right?
Which word?
To know her. Yeah, in the biblical sense. What is that? Why is that word used? So, I want to explain something. I don't know, maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't. But it's a very fascinating idea. Everyone here has heard of Chabad.
Yes.
What does it stand for? Chachma Bina Das. Chabad stands for Chachma, Bina, and Das. Yes. They come from Lubavitch, but Chabad is an acronym for Chachma, Bina, and Das.
So we're going to spheres.
Yes. So there are three different things. There's Chachma, there is Bina, and then there's Das. On a basic level, what that means, and we're going to connect it to this in a minute, that Chachma is when you have a spark of an idea. Tell me if you've ever had this experience. You're trying to figure something out. You're so confused, you don't know the answer. You read something, and you go, oh! And you're not exactly sure what the answer is, but you know you just got it. You know what I'm talking about? You know you got it. You're not really sure what it is yet, though. It's the strangest thing. It's like in the cartoons, the light bulb goes up, but you're not really sure like what the answer is. So then you stop yourself, and you say, wait, what is it? And then you process it, and the idea starts to branch out into a concept. You with me on this? No? You have this experience? That's called Chachma and Bina. Chachma is the spark of the idea. Bina is when the idea begins to expand. It's all still in your brain. Das is when you plug it in. Okay, this answers the question like this. This is how we're going to deal with it. There's Chachma. Ooh. There's Bina. And then there's Das. How to apply all that intellect. What?
Which is why it's not actually one of the zeros. Das? The mix of the two that kind of work together.
Well, but what I'm focusing on isn't exactly the mix of the two as much as it's the application of it to the next step. So das is referred to as like the neck. Yeah? So do you have all these ideas? You have this like concept of Beis HaMikdash is called the neck. You ever hear that before? And it's because it's the das, it's the connector between two places. So it's like the connector between the intellect and all the emotions is das. Das connects the intellect, all of those midos that are considered midos of intellect, into all of the midos and chesed that are considered emotions and everything else. That's how we react and act in the world based on our intellect. Das is what connects the two. Das is the neck. Yeah? So, Yayin separates the two things.
Because you don't know what's going on, right?
Yeah, it makes like a machitza between the intellect's capacity to act and to affect the way that a person acts and behaves with his emotions and his body. So that's why I one time I was walking back from, I think it was a Shalom Zachar, and I didn't realize how much this guy I was walking with had to drink. And I was having a conversation with him, and like what he was responding to me didn't make any sense. And I finally chapped that because he's not processing anything I'm saying, he's just reacting. Because his seichel is inhibited, his intellect is shot. Because there's a mechitza, his neck was cut off. You know what I'm talking, right? You can't have a real conversation with a person that's drunk. They respond to you emotionally, but they don't respond to you intellectually because they're not processing it. You say no?
It takes practice.
It takes practice. If you're not that drunk, then okay, you can still manage some comprehension. You might be able to control yourself because there's a certain thing that's there. Because whatever's become an emotional reality to you is always going to be there. But things that are not an emotional reality to you yet, not so pasha. Not so pasha.
What do you mean by emotional reality?
You know how like you believe certain things, but you have to constantly remind yourself because it's not really part of the way you act yet? That's called still in your intellect, but it's not an emotional reality yet. For example, you don't want to be jealous, right? Or you don't want to be angry. You don't want to be jealous or angry. So the way you work on it is by trying to convince yourself that if this happened, it's from Hashem. If this person has it, it's from Hashem. If it happened to me, it's from Hashem. So, you know, but if you get angry and you get jealous, it's an emotion, it's because that concept is not yet an emotional reality to you. It's still a concept. So until it becomes something so clear to you that you act on it automatically, emotionally, it's still a challenge for you. It's still something you have to work on. But at some point, there are some people that it's just so obvious to them that, well, how can they get angry? And you can have one person that knows that the person they're dealing with has a mental issue. Another person has no idea they have a mental issue. Both of them have interaction with this person. One of them gets angry, and one of them doesn't. Because the person that got angry, doesn't realize the person has a mental issue. And the other person gets it. So emotionally, they respond differently. Because it's not a thought process. It's like, I get it. So that's what I mean to say. So the yayin severs the neck between the intellect and the emotions.
Does it have to be
yayin? No, alcohol in general. So here's the question. The question is, when we want to legitimately connect to the Ribono Shel Olam, yeah? So is wine, are drugs, is alcohol, are things, is that a positive, is that enhance spirituality?
Depends.
Or detracts from it?
Which drug are you talking about?
Yeah, it depends which drug you're
not. Anything that impacts the das. In other words, I see a message here. The message I see here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you want to connect to me, you want to go to the place, that's the place of connection. That's the Beis HaMikdash, it's the neck. It's the connector between two worlds. If you want to be able to be part of the connection, then you have to be there. You being there doesn't only mean the part of you that is the emotional reality part, but your seichel has to be there. You have to be, you want to call it control, whatever, but you have to be a person that's able to use the chachma, the bina, and the das, and not that that is not here right now. And if you can manage that, then you can be in the place and you can do all of those things. But if that's missing, then you're not, that's not a connection. You're not connecting. So there's an isser of this drinking in this context. I think it goes against the grain of what we usually think spirituality is. Because usually we think spirituality is almost like getting beyond all of this. And if this is true, it's saying the exact opposite. that real spirituality is actually connecting to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in a very conscious way. Not like a non-conscious, like drugged sort of way. You're going to say it's a higher level of consciousness, but it sounds like that's not what's going on over here.
It depends because it does, it's different effects on you. Like drinking and, like, for example, smoking, it's a whole totally different mentality. Like,
so,
different,
right,
place in your mind.
From here, we only see alcohol.
Yeah, when they are sober, what is the relationship to him anyways?
They were big tzaddikim.
No, I'm talking about a standard person. Like, how drugs can relate to anybody individually. You know, if you already have a very negative view, you have to change the way you look, and that will change the way you see things, which might be beneficial for certain drugs. Think about that, like, Archie teaches in Plum Arts.
Not a fan. Which one? What are you referring to? Okay, later. When it comes to mitzvos, the more of us that's connecting, is the deeper the connection. So, for example, maybe we should just finish with this. It's getting very, very late. Let's talk about davening and connecting through davening for a minute. So, there are many mefarshim, right? Nefesh HaChaim, others that. When you daven, you're supposed to move your lips and say the words. It's supposed to be the wind that makes the words, that makes the sound. And then there's supposed to be kavana. That's called nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The nefesh is the lowest part of the soul. That corresponds to the body, that the body, the lips are moving. But there has to be ruach. Ruach, of course, is wind. There has to be, the vocal cords have to get activated. Or at least whispered. So that happens with ruach. So you're saying words now. You know, some people daven without their lips moving. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Their eyes are scanning things. So maybe they have kavana, but they're missing the ruach and the neshama from their tefillah. Okay, so then you have another person, exact opposite. His lips are moving because he's going like this. Yeah? He's not. There's no ruach, and maybe he's not even conscious about what he's doing.
Is there a chaya to this aspect of
the problem? Perhaps. But they talk about this. So the lips moving is the lowest level. The ruach means that the words are being said. That's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to move your lips and say the words. If you're going too fast, you can't say the words, then you're missing out on ruach over here. And then there's neshama. Neshama means there's kavana. So to the extent that the whole person is involved, so that's the connection that will be forged. Yeah? So if a person is going to sever, going to have like something else is going on over here, so you're not bringing down the same energies. It's not the same thing that's happening. So that's why there has to be like a person that's there with a heavy-duty consciousness. That's how we understand spirituality. The more that a person's aware, the more of him that's present and involved, the greater that mitzvah is. That's one of the reasons that learning Torah is the most spiritual thing you can do. Most people think it's the most intellectual thing you can do, but it's not the most spiritual thing that you can do. And it's the opposite. It's that learning Torah, there's more of you involved than anything else that you do. Because when you're really learning a Gemara, and you're really struggling to understand, and your brain power is like at like 90%, you know, fighting with the guy next to you, no, it's like this, like this, like this, like this. You're, more of you is involved than any other mitzvah that we have. And that's the most powerful mitzvah that we have, is Talmud Torah. Anyway, those are some thoughts. Any concluding remarks? Anything you want to say? No. Anyway, some thoughts.